One of the things that I share with leaders that I coach pretty early on is it's so important that they see you as a person and not as a position. Because if they see you as a position, then you're disposable. If they see you as a person, then they're more likely to connect with you. They're more likely to be loyal to you. They're more likely to be engaged with you at a higher level. But if they just see you as a position, then, you know, they're just going to do what they need to do to stay off your radar. Or they're going to do what they need to do to stay on your radar long enough to get promoted to a different team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. I'm your host, Caspi Bias. Now, before we dive into today's discussion, I want to take a moment to celebrate a significant milestone. Our last episode actually marked our 50th episode of the Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias podcast. I know, right? Yay! It's a big achievement, and I want to extend our heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you for sticking with me on this journey. Your support and enthusiasm keeps us going, and we wouldn't have reached this milestone without you. So, here's to our amazing listeners out there. Thank you so much for being a part of the Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias community. Now, I hope you've had a chance to digest the valuable insights we shared in our previous episode, titled How to Build Emotional Intelligence in the Workforce. In part one, we began looking into emotional intelligence and its role in the workplace. We learned how it's not just about excelling at your job, but also about understanding and connecting with coworkers on a deeper level that makes the difference, professionally and personally. Today, we're picking up where we left off, and we have the privilege of continuing our conversation with John Little, founder of the Winner's Edge Coaching, an organization that specializes in executive-level coaching and leadership development. In this episode, we'll continue tackling some real-world scenarios, focusing on how to build strong relationships with your colleagues, how to handle feedback and criticism, and how to navigate workplace stress caused by unpredictable and sometimes toxic executive staff behavior. If you're a fan of our podcast, you're going to love the Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias animated series. Each week alongside our podcast episodes, we release captivating animated teasers that capture the essence of every conversation. To check out this animated series, head over to the show description where you'll find a direct link waiting for you. Welcome back to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. You go to a networking event and it seems like all the people there are essentially just trying to get a job. And so there's plenty of people coming up to you saying, oh, hey, yeah, so my name is such and such. This is my business. I do X, Y, and Z. But then there's other people who may come up to you or who you may walk up to who are like, oh, hey, what's your name? What's your background? Where are you from? Different things like that. It's those types of questions, I definitely agree, that further build that connection with other people and show people that essentially you care. And that goes a long way. Make sure you ask questions, get to know other people, especially, it doesn't matter what platform, but especially when it comes to the workforce. And I know for myself, EQ in general, that was something that I definitely had to work on coming into the workforce and just further understanding and moving forward with in general. And I catch myself too from time to time, so I'm not perfect. But I will catch myself, especially toward the beginning of my corporate America career, where I would just be like, all right, let's get right into it. And not even ask, how are you doing? Hi, how was your weekend? Thankfully, there were some people who came up to me after meetings and would be like, oh, hey, yeah, so I noticed that you have this sort of strategy as far as just getting straight to the point, which is great, fantastic, but we need to work on that a little bit. And so I'm very much grateful as far as those conversations, because it led me to learn a little bit more as far as learning more about other people out there and realizing how important that communication is in order to get to know each other better and making life a lot easier.
Yeah. One of the things that I share with leaders that I coach pretty early on is it's so important that they see you as a person and not as a position. Because if they see you as a position, then you're disposable. If they see you as a person, then they're more likely to connect with you. They're more likely to be loyal to you. They're more likely to be engaged with you at a higher level. But if they just see you as a position, then, you know, they're just going to do what they need to do to stay off your radar. Or they're going to do what they need to do to stay on your radar long enough to get promoted to a different team.
Any other tips or advice as far as handling feedback and criticism when it comes to the workforce and emotional intelligence? And I know that can come up a lot, especially when it comes to performance reviews. Yes. Any tips for that?
Yeah, I'll say this. Feedback is a gift. If somebody cares enough to give their opinion on your efforts, on your work, on whatever it is, then it's a gift. So accept it as such, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. If someone cares enough to give you feedback, thank you for the feedback. I appreciate that. And also recognize that is only one person's perception, right? You could be doing the same exact things, same exact work, the same exact process, day in, day out. You can get feedback from someone who says you're the best one that's ever done it in life and they've never seen it done before. And you can get feedback from someone else who says, I have no idea what you're doing. None of it makes sense to me. Right? So just keep that in mind. Criticism, when it is something that is tactical, when it's something you could do this better, if it's something that is like specific and tangible, then that type of criticism, I would always try to unpack that a little bit more with whoever is providing it. Can you give me some tools and resources that I can use? Can you give me some more insights? Can you give me some examples of what that looks like? Criticism that's a little bit more personal, maybe about how you approach things, maybe about how you communicate, maybe about just someone doesn't really, not everybody likes you. It's just the reality of the world, right? I know. How dare you say that out loud? But sometimes those criticisms, I'll say two things. One, sometimes consider the source, right? Consider the source who's giving you the criticism and what their motivations may be. And if when you consider the source and what their motivations may be behind the criticism, get that sense, again, using emotional intelligence, like, all right, how can I take what was said and improve? Or is it something that, like, when I sit here, I listen to it, I absorb it. Like, sometimes there are some criticisms that you just have to outright dismiss, because sometimes it's more about you than it is about me. That's not always the case. That's not a get out of jail free card. But sometimes it's more about the person who's giving the criticism than what they're criticizing. Is it a behavior? Is it an action? Is it a tactic? A technique? Is it something that I can tangibly improve upon? Or is this something that is just a preference difference?
It's a follow up question with that.
Yeah.
How would you be able to distinguish between the two of, oh, this actually is something that I need to work on versus this person is a, this, I can't even think of another word. This person tripping.
By asking a question. So how would you have me approach it differently? So how would you have me do it differently? What would you like to see differently that would change that perception? Like asking those three questions or one of those three questions can help to unpack if it's actually something that can be worked on or changed. And by asking those questions, how can I approach it differently? How can I do it differently? What would you like to see in order for it to appear differently? Something along those lines. Like that will put it back on them to move out of the space of criticism into the place of solutions. And if their response is more like, I just don't like it. I just don't like how you do it. Okay. I don't know what to do with that. You're not giving me a path to a solution. This seems like it's just something that is, that's not necessarily about me, if that helps.
Right. Exactly. And then taking with that too, taking into consideration as well, if that's the best time to say that as well, or rather just hold that information and be like, thank you for your feedback or something.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's just that. If you have determined that's just something that you just need to flush, then you say, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to share that with me.
Exactly.
And just leave it at that. Because the chances are, if someone has criticism that is not grounded in a solution, like going back and forth with them, you're not going to get anywhere.
All right, John. One final scenario for you. Recognizing and managing stress in others at work. There would be plenty of meetings where there would be executive level members in the room and everybody has different personalities, but sometimes the executive staff, they're not at their best that day, or they might be angry and want to hash it out on everybody, yelling and everything like that. As a result, stress is just leaning on you. You sense it from other coworkers, the stress is adding on to them as well. So in situations like that, how could a young professional, say, address that executive member? How exactly could a young professional address the situation in general pertaining to emotional intelligence?
That is a tough one, because you can only control what you can control. You can't manage someone else's stress. You can only manage how it impacts you.
Right.
But in that situation, assuming that the individual has a platform to speak with the manager or executive or whomever, is to come from that place of feedback and intent. Hey, I just want to share with you, a little bit about how I interpreted that last meeting. I want to share with you about how some of the things landed with me. And I want to make sure that I understand what your intention was during that meeting. It's a way to get into the conversation without accusing. It's a way to get into the conversation without coming at it from the place of I'm upset. It's really, I just want to share with you if you're open to it. And I want to understand what was the plan.
After the meeting, after they've blown up and everything, just waiting after to have that conversation or things have died down a little bit.
In the situation, again, depending on how you can navigate through things, there are things that you can say, hey, I need a quick timeout. I want to make sure that we are able to hear each other. I want to make sure that I'm able to hear and understand what you're saying, or I can't understand it right now based on the environment that exists. I want to make sure that I'm not missing something because this is clearly important to you. Maybe we can take down the temperature a little bit so that way I can try to understand. A lot of times it's relationship based as well. I've worked with some clients who have clients also that can be like really like bottom line, like no room for anything. They want to come in and be the big dog in the room. And sometimes it's saying to them like, hey, we're on the same team here, but in order for us to be on the same team, we want to make sure that we can communicate as partners. And this isn't really feeling like a partnership all the time, right? Just something like that is, you're reaffirming that you want the same things, you have the same goals, but you're also standing up for yourself by saying, this doesn't really feel like that. We're in this together. This feels really one directional. Just some of those like quick resets, those are things that can help to alleviate some stress. But I'm a big fan of what I call the circle back, which is I want to make sure that I understood what was going on there. I want to make sure that I didn't miss something. I want to understand what your intent was. Nobody's perfect. And that's the other thing is you never know what's going on with somebody else. So you only see what you're experiencing in the moment, but you don't know if they had a phone call right before that meeting that their child was sent home sick from school. Maybe got a phone call about a relative who suddenly fell ill and things are uncertain. Like there's so many things that you don't know, but when we don't lean into emotional intelligence and we just default to, oh, that didn't feel good. My feelings are hurt. It's like, you got to have a little bit more of a perspective of what's happening in the world. And yeah, it didn't feel good to you in the moment, but that's an opportunity for you to go to that person from that sense of, hey, here's what I was experiencing. I want to make sure that I understand completely what was happening. So that way I know how I should be feeling.
And I like how you're pointing out the way of phrasing everything, but also including the word I, rather than being directly being like, oh, you did this, you did that. That just gives off that accusation sort of vibe when you're talking with other individuals, and you definitely don't want to do that. But as you said, perhaps they went through something before the meeting, or they have something going on in life. Again, we're all human. It's normal. However, you're also letting them know that you're speaking up for yourself, and that this sort of treatment that's being thrown at you, like, it would suck if they were to get that same treatment. You don't want the same treatment. You deserve as much respect as any other individual, including them on this planet. So it's showing them that you are willing to speak up for yourself. And that's something that I see can be very difficult when it comes to being within the workforce, but outside of the workforce as well. It's very difficult, especially when it comes to those executive staff members, to actually say something, especially coming in as a young professional, just starting out with the entry-level position. Should I say something in this situation? I just got here. That would suck if I had to leave. I just started here last week. Just certain situations like that. But it really is important as far as just letting them know that you care, that we're all human, but also having that confidence to speak up is very much encouraged, because not only do you feel better in the long run that you said something, but chances are other, like 100%, other people are feeling the same way that you are feeling in that situation as well.
Bringing it full circle for your audience. The sooner that you can master these things, and the sooner that you get comfortable having these type of conversations, the earlier in your career that you do it, 20% of your success is based off of what you know. 80% of your success is based off of your EQ. So if you master these emotional intelligence skills, then you're going to be seen in the office, in the professional setting. You're going to be seen as more mature. You're going to be seen as someone who gets it. You're going to be seen as someone who doesn't get all caught up in their feelings when things like this happen. And all of those things are going to help you in your career, because those are leadership skills that are intangible and they are rare, especially in people who are early in their career. And so when you can master those things early in your career, then you will have people at the organization who are willing to take chances and to invest in you, to give you that other 20% that you're going to need to also advance in your career. Because if I see that you get it as a person, and I see that you are someone who has those qualities, I want to make sure that I keep you engaged. I want to make sure I keep you focused. I want to make sure I keep you on the hook, and I want you to grow with the company, because, ooh, now I see that you have a future here. Now I see that you're going to be someone who can be a future leader, instead of you're someone who's always caught up in their feelings. You're someone who, you know, who I have to worry about. You're someone who I can't read. I don't understand because you don't talk to me. You don't communicate. You can separate yourself through emotional intelligence faster than you can any other way, because leaders will see you're different.
If other young professionals want to learn more about emotional intelligence, as far as just practicing different techniques, what other resources or tools would you recommend they look more into to deepen their understanding of emotional intelligence?
There's so much information that's available just to get a foundational understanding. The DISC model, D-I-S-C, DISC model of human behavior, which really helps to understand quadrants of where people's personalities are usually driven from. And then also Myers-Briggs. So MBTI, or the Myers-Briggs type indicator. That's a much deeper level. That one's got a little bit more science behind it. But again, it gives really great insights into how people's personalities are driven. Like that, if I were to say like two things that I would do, I would go online and I would take a free assessment, because there's a ton of free assessments out there. I would do a free DISC assessment somewhere to find out, like, what are some of my general characteristics? Also, there was an author named Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-E-M-A-N. He wrote a book on emotional intelligence years ago that is just going to be, again, foundational knowledge about how people are wired and how people engage with one another. those resources will help you to get started. But the most important thing is to just be observant. Just be a student of people.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And then one other book for me that I would definitely recommend as well is called Emotional Intelligence 2.0 by Dr. Travis Bradbury and Dr. Jean Greaves. It not only explains different types of things when it comes to emotional intelligence, but it also outlines examples and strategies word for word as far as how you can practice in that particular scenario to have the best outcome that you can possibly achieve. So I would definitely recommend that book as well. It helped me out a lot.
Yeah, very good book as well.
All right, John. So thank you. Thank you so much for coming on to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. Do you have any other last tips or pieces of advice that you have for our young professionals when it comes to emotional intelligence?
I would just say constantly practice it. Everybody is so unique and different. There is no one size fits all. Don't beat yourself up if things don't go the way that you think that it will initially.
It definitely takes practice.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that I wish someone had told me much, much earlier in life is give yourself grace, because we are often our worst critics. But if we give ourselves grace, then it allows us the space to continue to learn and grow. So I would just give that advice as well.
John, thank you so much for coming on to Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias. And as always, thank you, audience, for listening. Tune in next week for an all-new episode of Adulting. I'm Caspi Bias. Talk to you next time. Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias is a production of C. Bias Productions, LLC. For more episodes of Adulting 101 with Caspi Bias, visit Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.